Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, a contributor at ninernoise.com, and here with me as we are officially in the build-up to week one is fellow Niner Noise contributor Akshaz Devadula. Akshaz, it's time. Here we are, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, Robert. You know, I'm excited. Preseason is so weird. Sometimes I forget that, like, there are games that matter. It's like, oh, you know, I need to, like, I should start caring a little more about what's going to happen in the future. But I'm excited for Monday Night Football. I think it's going to be a fun game. And I'm excited for the Niners to get their season on the road. And more importantly, hopefully stop being in the offseason where there's just a bunch of news about things. It's all really sad and, like,
Let's play some games. So hopefully some good things can be talked about. Of course, that the two bits of sad news. Well, just not sad news. More, it's not sad. Like, nothing bad has happened. It's just like nothing's happening. Is more so. It's just like annoyance. Like, stop being annoying, kind of thing. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk, remains unextended with his contract. He's still on the roster. He is still under contract for 2024. He traveled to Vegas with the team for their final preseason game. That kind of seems like a decently good bit of news, but who knows? Like, every other day, it's like, oh, it's happening. It's imminent. They only have a couple other things they need to work out. And then imminent seems to take, like, you know, days and days and days, and then of course obviously nothing has happened, so the imminence of it doesn't seem to be really that imminent. And then on top of that, we have the Trent Williams saga, which is even more bizarre because we don't really know anything about what's going on there. At least with Brandon Ayuk, he's in camp even if he's not participating, and he's around the team and all that kind of stuff. Trent Williams just hasn't shown up, and the latest news was that he's willing to sit out regular season games if that's what it takes to get his contract reworked. Two of the most important players on this 49ers offense. It's concerning. I gotta say, it's a little worrying that these two players are not. Now, I mean, who knows? I would assume that Brandon Ayuk is not going to be willing to lose game check money by moving his hold into the regular season, but I just don't know. Trent Williams, as we were discussing before we started, already being fined somewhere in the neighborhood of like $5 million between training camp and game checks for the preseason games that he's missed. So he's playing a game, but I don't know. What are you thinking about this?
You know, Robert, I think Kyle Madsen had a phenomenal tweet where he said Kyle Madsen, phenomenal tweet, is a pretty non-unique statement. I think what he said is summarized the Brandon Ayuk saga so perfectly. He said, the next report that's going to matter is going to be Brandon Ayuk is traded or Brandon Ayuk signs an extension. Yep. Until then, everyone is effectively, like, saying the same three things to try to, like, say that, to kind of point at an edge. But the reality is the Niners and Ayuk are just not there yet. And then the Trent Williams stuff, that's, like, terrifying to me because I know that he'd definitely sit it out. That doesn't seem like a, you know, fake kind of report, like, oh, maybe that's leverage. I think he's the type of player who'd do it. And on top of that, he is probably top five most important Niners on this team. Without him, mm-hmm. the 49ers offensive line is capital B bad, and that might be too much for them to overcome as a team.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, the Jets are going to be an interesting team this year, but we know defensively they're going to be pretty good. They have been pretty good since Robert Saleh's been there, and they've been steadily improving. They were quite good last year. We anticipate that I would say that they'd be, you know, a top-tier defense in 2024. So if you're going to be struggling to keep Brock Purdy upright, it doesn't really matter. It might not even matter if Brandon Ayuk plays if Trent Williams doesn't. It's kind of the way I'm thinking about it heading into week one for Monday Night Football, which is not the place you want to be to start off a season with such high expectations and then kind of have this womp womp kind of beginning to the season.
I agree. I mean, there's always that come draft season when people are debating offensive lineman versus wide receiver, there's that little stick figure thing they draw where it's you see the quarterback throwing it to the wide receiver and here's upright. And then the one, if you draft the wide receiver, is that the wide receiver's open, the quarterback can't throw it because they got sacked. And I mean, Trent is hugely important. I don't think either of us have the numbers on the top of our heads, but the amount of like receiving yards, the rushing yards the 49ers have on the left side versus the right side is astronomical. And that's basically all because of Trent Williams.
Yeah. And not to mention, we should also mention the fact that Aaron Banks has been out through most of training camp as well. And while he's not, you know, an all pro super star Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer type player, he's been a solid player in his tenure with the 49ers. And yeah, other than that, I mean, you got a rookie who appears to be the de facto starter at right guard. You got Drake Brendel, who's been, you know, up and down during his tenure. There's a lot of people who will say that he's terrible. I'm not sure that he's terrible. And then Colton McKivitz, who is, you know, he's Colton McKivitz. it's certainly a mixed bag across the board after that. And then, of course, the question of, well, what do you do if Trent Williams is not starting? Well, it looks like probably like Jalen Moore would be your next guy up. I think Kyle Shanahan already said right off the bat, it's not going to be Dominic Pooney. We're not going to slide him over to left tackle just because he has history playing left tackle at Kansas in college. Like, we're trying to make him a guard. Like, that's the plan, and he's been doing well with that. So, I don't like it. I wish that it would stop. I wish at one point somebody would say something where it's like, this is happening, and then you turn around and it would in fact be happening. That would just be great. They've got, you know, we're sitting here Monday, August 26th. It's exactly 2 weeks. At this point, 2 weeks from now, they'll be roughly in the neighborhood of halfway through the game. I think all 49ers fans are hoping that that will be a game that both Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk will be participating in. But of course, you also have to factor in like what is the impact of them both having essentially missed the entirety of training camp. I mean, even if they work this out tomorrow before final cutdowns are due to be in, they'll both have missed all of training camp. I'm trying to remember, were either of them at? I guess Brandon Ayuk was it the mandatory team stuff, right? We've seen very little of either of them since the Super Bowl ended, I guess is the way to put it. And you gotta, I don't think you're concerned that Trent Williams is not going to be in shape or anything like that. But there's a big difference between just working out on the side and being ready to go to play football with your team on such a, you know, high level.
I agree. I mean, the thing, right, is that especially with Trent, you can kind of phase a receiver in a little bit. In the same way, I think the Niners kind of put Nick Bosa on a snap count when he finally got his extension. But you're not going to be able to do that with Trent Williams. He's going to play the full game, all however many snaps, and he's going to be out there. And he's going to be matched up one-on-one against great pass rushers that the Jets have. So, honestly, the one player – if you had to tell me one player on the 49ers roster to be like, they're not going to get a training camp, who do you want them to be? I would say Trent Williams. So, sure. Maybe there's a chance it all works out. But it's not what you want to see heading into a season that's all about, you know, one last chance of getting the line to get that Super Bowl.
Yeah, not at all. That's the annoying part, right? Is the fact that the conversation this offseason was supposed to be all about, like, how do they just kind of make that one incremental next step over to get them over the top? And it's I don't think they've had any – I haven't heard any conversation about that. Like, if people are talking about the 49ers, they're not talking about, oh, how can they get back to the Super Bowl? Can they win the Super Bowl this time? Blah, blah, blah. All the conversation is focused on what's going on with Brandon Ayuk, what's going on with Trent Williams. And I get it. Like, that's the draw, but I'm also a little tired of – I mean, I'm a lot tired of hearing about it. I mean, on top of everything else, of course, news came out this afternoon that CeeDee Lamb signed his extension after – basically missing the entire offseason. He's 4 years, $136 million or something stupid like that. I think it's $34 million a season, including a record signing bonus for a wide receiver. I think it's $38 million, which, you know, probably helps to par down some of those, that average annual value. It makes the annual average value look a lot really high, but also it's cash. That also brings down some of the cap hits, I imagine. It's probably pretty good work there from Dallas, which is not something that we'll say very often on this particular podcast. But I'm not sure. I mean, that number is more like something that the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase have to be worried about. I'm not sure. We talked about this when Justin Jefferson got his extension. Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase are working on a completely different plane, even than a guy as good as Brandon Ayuk is going. So I'm not sure that has any impact, but it does tell you, like, it's like put up or shut up time right now. It's time to get ready for the season, and we got to stop having this conversation about whether or not somebody's getting signed or I think it's got to be signed at this point, right? It's either signed or he's just going to play out the fifth year option. A trade at this point feels absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, there's no way he gets traded. I think one thing that I've been reading that's been interesting is that Ayuk's been claiming that he's had a back injury. That's been
right. His
reason for not – like, does he have a back injury? Probably not. But it becomes an interesting question of, will the 49ers try to make him play through his injury? That's not really an injury, but it is an injury because, you know, technically that's –
right.
That's why he's not I mean,
right,
there's
right,
a whole bunch of annoying noise. It's all started because of this. But, yeah, I mean, the CeeDee Lamb contract, I think, is intriguing mostly because it was potentially a high-end comparable. But the Cowboys basically put CeeDee Lamb at the level of, we think you're in the Justin Jefferson field. Maybe not as good as him, but you're around there. I don't think the 49ers have that opportunity with Ayuk. However, I think Ayuk's representatives will rightfully point out the 49ers kind of don't use Ayuk the same way the Cowboys use Lamb, and that this is like something that should be, like, with the obvious caveat that you can't match Justin Jefferson. This is maybe what Ayuk should be looking at now, which is like, even after you discount it because you say Lamb's better, that's probably like a $2 million increase AAV from where the 49ers probably came up to, from 30 to like 32.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
so close. I mean, I hope that this doesn't have an impact. I hope that, you know, both parties kind of realize that, like, this is outside of our, like, negotiation world, but I don't know.
You never
I'm
know,
not
right?
So confident.
Right. Well, I mean, and the hope was, after all the those couple of weeks where it's like, oh, with the trade stuff that was worked out, and there was the talks that the numbers that were coming back from the teams that he was possibly getting traded to were a little bit more in the area of like the $28 million kind of range, which that conversation seemed to suggest that he's not getting that $30 million from anybody. So it wasn't just the 49ers valuation of him, but it was also like no one thought that he was worth that much money. I don't know if that had any, if that was true or not, but that there were reports that the I think the Steelers and the Patriots offers were somewhere in that like 28 range. So who knows? I don't know. That was weeks ago, and it feels like that didn't do anything. I don't know. I'm just at this point, I'm just like, get it done. Get it done. Both of you. Sign your contracts and get to work, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is probably the quote-unquote worst negotiation the 49ers have had. Even though I think we're basically getting to the same amount of time as Bosa's.
Right.
But you have the sense that the 49ers, like, were going to pay Nick Bosa. It was, they were just, like, begging Nick Bosa to be like, can you please stick a little less? And eventually they're like, okay, there's not much more we can do here. But Ayuk, it really does feel like the Niners just might not get this done.
Yeah. Well, and there's some comparisons to be made between the CeeDee Lamb thing with the Cowboys and the Bosa thing, where it's just like the Cowboys knew they were giving him that kind of money all along. And they just dragged it out and dragged it out and dragged it out and dragged it out. And they finally were like, all right, fine. Which is exactly what happened with Nick Bosa. It's just like, why are we extending this into days, literal days before the first game of the season for no reason whatsoever, when you ended up probably giving him exactly what he asked for in the first place, minus a concession or two? Who knows? I don't know. It's all silly. But I would take some of the money. That's all I got to say. Anyway, so we are one of the thing what we wanted to do. So we spent a little bit of time talking about that. That was good. And it informs the next conversation, which is we're gonna build ourselves a 53-man roster projection here. So I've done a lot of these. We were talking about this before we started recording. I've done a lot of these for the site in written form. I tend to be very verbose in my explanations and all that kind of stuff. So we're gonna try to work through this. We're kind of working through this in real time. So I wrote down 53. Akshaz, do you have your own version of this? Is that the operation here?
So as a nice contrast to your meticulous planning, Robert, I have a rough schematic.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I just wrote down names. That's literally all I got. So there's no further thought. So I figure we can go position group by position group. Some of these are not going to require any conversation at all. It's just like, this is obviously the best X number of guys for this position. I think there'll be a couple of places where it's like, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if that's actually the direction it's going to go. So we'll start at the top. With the quarterbacks, I think pretty simple. The NFL did release an interesting bit of information about this. So we've been running all offseason on the assumption that the emergency quarterback, the third QB, if you will, or the emergency quarterback, was going to be allowed to be basically an extra guy, right? That it was going to be if teams opted to do so, that they could make their emergency quarterback basically a member of the practice squad who they could elevate at an unlimited level. Today, like 24 hours before I'm sure the teams knew about this before they released this information, but like 24 hours before final roster cuts, the NFL said, nope, we're not doing that. If you want a third quarterback, if you want an emergency quarterback, he's got to be in your 53-man roster, which, gosh, that would be annoying, wouldn't it? From a team-building perspective, if you've been thinking all offseason, like, this is the way that it's going to be built, and that kind of does throw a little bit of a curveball into it. So that did alter what I was thinking in terms of quarterbacks a little bit. Not a lot, but we'll see how it goes. So I think it's three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, mostly because it's pretty much always been three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster since Kyle Shanahan's been in town. That's really the only reason that Brock Purdy is here, is because he kept three quarterbacks, you know, a couple of years ago. So Brock Purdy, Josh Dobbs, Brandon Allen, I think, are the three. And I think in that order, I think it's really close. But in the end, I think Josh Dobbs provides something, a little something extra, that Brandon Allen is, like, he's fine. And in a pinch, I think he would be fine. But I just think that Josh Dobbs has got that little extra spice to him. Now, maybe I could be completely wrong. Maybe that extra spice is the thing that Shanahan goes, it's fine. Like, I want him around, but I don't think I want him to be the second quarterback. It's perfectly possible that that's also the solution. But I think it is all three guys in the end, whether or not it's Dobbs 2, Allen 2. I can't say for sure, but and maybe Shanahan will never say for sure either, but it's certainly those three guys to my mind.
So I guess the one question, well, we'll find out, I think, because if I remember right, the rule will require the emergency QB can be inactive but marked as the emergency QB.
Correct. So we'll know but he has to be on the the change is he has to be on the 53-man roster, whereas previously the assumption was he could be on the practice squad and be elevated every week.
Yeah, okay, so Shanahan might not say anything, but we'll find out eventually. But I'm right there with you, Robert. I think there's no world where they carry less than three, because they've always carried three. And, I mean, both Allen and Dobbs played well enough to where there's not really a chance you can sneak him onto the practice squad, I think. Mm-hmm. So you kind of – you run the risk of it. And, yeah, I mean, I think Dobbs is also QB too. I just think – I thought Allen played well in preseason, but Dobbs was electric.
Yeah.
Beyond the scrambling, which I think is always, like, exciting and really, like, showcases, oh, my gosh, this is a completely – this roster, this is super cool. He was just like, he had a pretty good grasp of the offense and he really could make things happen playing against the same quality of opposition that Allen did. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Brandon Allen suffered for some drops, but they had the same receivers out in the field for the two of them. Yeah, I know. I think the one thing I will say is, I'm pretty confident Tanner Mordecai will be on the practice squad if the 49ers didn't have it happen.
Yeah, 100%. I think Mordecai has showed enough that they'll definitely try to keep him around. But we'll see with that group. It would have been really interesting to see what Shanahan would have done if the other version of the rule had been in place. If he would have been like, you know what, quarterback three don't really care that much. We'll release two of them, and whichever one can come back. I don't know, but we'll never know. All right, quarterback's pretty easy. Running backs, I think, are also pretty simple. Christian McCaffrey, he's number one, pretty simple. Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, Isaac Corenda, and Kyle Juszczyk at the fullback position. So that's five running backs, halfbacks/fullbacks. I don't think there's a real lot there to discuss. Other than, again, that's a sort of in order thing for me. I think J.P. Mason is very, very, very clearly Christian McCaffrey's backup this season heading into the beginning of the year.
Yeah. No, I think the one thing I will say is I wonder if Mitchell's injury is bad enough if they try to do some, like, sneaky little put him on the IR or something. I don't know, but I agree. I think those are the four. I feel a little bad for Cody Schrader because I think he had a really good camp and preseason, but Garendo's kick returns and the fact that he's a fourth-round pick kind of cemented that roster spot. And Mitchell is still in the good graces of the 49ers, so he's not going to get cut just yet. And Mason is definitely the backup, so tough luck for Schrader, but I agree with you all the way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance that all five of them are active on game day, especially, well, depending on Mitchell's health situation. But Isaac Grundo, it seems like he's got a pretty good chance to be that kickoff return guy. But other than that, I mean, Mitchell could be useful. I mean, it really comes down to what Elijah Mitchell proves his usefulness elsewhere besides just being like a third emergency kind of running back guy.
I think Mitchell might be inactive.
Yeah.
Especially because the 49ers have the like weird luxury of not needing another running back, also because they can just put Deebo Samuel back there, worst case.
Sure.
So I could see if Mitchell, who maybe hasn't played a lot of special teams because he's been the primary backup, I could see Mitchell taking one of those inactive slots.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This is completely unrelated, but we did our fantasy draft in my family fantasy football league the other day. I got Christian McCaffrey at pick number two for some reason. I'm not really sure what the person in front of me was thinking, but whatever. And then somebody tried to trade me Nick Chubb for him later that evening, and I responded with a bah ha 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 response and then rejected the trade. So that was fun. This is what I do. I very rarely get players that I'm like super excited about who happen to also be on the team that I cheer for in fantasy football. It's why I'm not good at fantasy football, by the way, because there's like four teams that I won't take players from and all this kind of stuff. It's a personal thing. Anyway, wide receivers. Again, I think this is pretty straightforward. I think there could be some argument with the last guy, but obviously Brandon Ayuk on the team. We'll see what happens there. Debo, who looks primed to really go full Debo again this year. Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, who was practicing again today in a blue contact, no contact jersey, but it's practice. Counts for something. Jacob Cowing, who just looks electric out there with the ball in his hands. I'm excited about him. And then I think Chris Conley is the sixth guy at this point, mostly because he does serve he can be useful on special teams. I think he played really well at the end of last year, obviously. He had a pretty good game in the Super Bowl and has shown more than any of the, the Danny Grays, the Ronnie Bells, and some of the other guys that are out there. And then I just don't know that Trent Taylor has done enough. Would it shock me if they went with Trent Taylor as the sixth guy and they're like, you're the punt returner? No. But I also feel like it feels like Jacob Cowing could be the punt returner, and then Trent Taylor could come back on the practice squad. And if they decide like, okay, this isn't working, they could elevate him if they need to. But I don't know. Those six feel the five right off the top, pretty much locked in. We could go back and forth on who the sixth guy is. It may not matter. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is that with the exception of Cowing, those first four were locked in from before training camp started, too. Right. So there was really only a competition for two spots. And I think Cowing always had the upper hand. Rookie, fourth-round pick. You're not really going to cut a guy like that. But I agree with you. I'm super excited for him. Every year I write an article where I pick one rookie who I think will be an unsung hero. And I picked Elijah Mitchell my first time I wrote it, which is why I now do it every other year. Because I picked Braden Willis last year, so
all right.
I'm not always right. But I think I wrote about Cowing because he seems like the guy who's immediately going to get 5 to 10 snaps plus special teams, and he's just going to – I think he's going to kill. I'm super excited. And I agree, too. I have Conley making it. I think the 49ers ideally would have wanted a guy like Ronnie Bell or Danny Gray to grab that sixth spot and have Conley be a practice squad receiver, elevate him while you get Ayuk back up to speed, and then kind of go from there. But Conley played really well in preseason, and he also got the like starters treatment of barely playing, which is a really good sign. And more importantly, the receivers outside of this list, Trent Taylor, I thought was pretty okay, but I don't think he has the juice anymore, which kind of really limits what he can do for you in a way that I think Conley doesn't. But more importantly, like Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray just had bad preseason. Danny Gray, there was something, I don't know what it is, but it just never worked out. He was just never able to click with Shanahan. And that happens. That's the 49ers receiving world, like, in a nutshell. But I don't know what happened with Ronnie Bell. One year, he's the talk of town, and the next, just, I don't know. But I agree with you. I have those six within the roster.
All right. So far, so good. We're doing well. I think we might run into a little interesting curve with the tight ends here. This is, you could convince me of like four different iterations of the tight end room and I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see how that works out. George Kittle, obviously the top guy. I think Eric Saubert is pretty well locked into this. I think he's as essentially the Charlie Warner of this group, more or less. Like, he's shown a lot as a blocker. He's a willing blocker and able to do the job very well. Does he add anything as a receiver? I don't know. I guess time will tell. I think Braden Willis is, he's not been spectacular, but I think he's solid enough. And obviously he had the opportunity to be part of the team more as the season went on last year. So I think he's got the leg up. At that point, I don't know. I put much maybe against my better judgment. I actually this is a bad idea, but I'm not convinced that that the return of Logan Thomas was an accident. I'll just say that. And I think that there's a pretty good chance that he makes the roster and they keep four tight ends at this point. Now, would I be surprised if, I don't know, Cameron Latu did just enough at the end to make the team and the team is like, we don't want to punt on a third round draft pick this soon. Or, you know, Jake Tongs, however you say his last name, or Mason Plyne sneaks onto this team. I think there's a much better chance that one of those two is a practice squad type guy. And I think there's maybe a chance that Cameron Latu has shown so little as a professional that he also slipped through waivers, but I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm not even settled on four necessarily there, but I think if they brought the bringing back of Logan Thomas thing is so interesting to me, given what happened with that whole situation, that you kind of wonder, do they want him on the team? Cause they're like, really anybody that can catch a pass outside of this position, outside of George Kittle would be great. I don't know.
Men. When we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So, I think bringing Logan Thomas back, to me, was like the biggest, we're probably going to put you on the practice squad move. And the reason why I think this is because it seemed like we want to keep you around the building, but because we cut you, we don't think things are necessarily working out. But then there was a roster reshuffle, and, you know, I think he's on the fringes. I have four as well. Kittle, Sauber, and Willis are the three. And I think Latu makes the team. I think he did a lot in just his improvement year over year. And that he's the prototype for this position for what the 49ers want. If they can mold him into, you know, actually putting that onto the field. And I think that's important. And also the fact that he's on that rookie contract. Because... Right. As part of the overall, you know, roster reshuffle that we're all expecting is going to happen next year, George Kittle is not his spot on the 2025-2026 49ers is written in pencil, not pen right now. So I think I would be surprised if they cut Latu. And I think Logan Thomas, bringing him back, to me, seemed like a, okay, yeah, we're going to bring this guy and put him onto the practice squad.
I think that's fair. I think that's certainly a weighing the which player is more likely to get through waivers at the end of all this thing. Certainly makes sense that the slightly older veteran more likely to get through that process for sure. So I think that seems right to me. But would I be surprised if it went the other way? No, not particularly. And don't say sad things to me about how George Kittle not being on this team. I'll be real sad, man. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. No, it's not, but it's up there. Okay. Offensive line. So we were trying to figure this out before we started recording, as to what the actual roster situation with Trent Williams is. The 49ers have him listed at the bottom of the 90-man roster, so not on the roster, under the physically unable to perform list. It's on a reserve did not report, which is also the reserve physically unable. So there's active physically unable to perform, which is Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga. The reserve did not report, which is Trent Williams by himself, and then the reserve physically unable to perform, which is Jake Jackson by himself. So my guess is they don't have to even worry about him on the roster until he actually returns and reports. So while I did list him on my list, I'm also noting that that's like a future move that they may have, that they'll hopefully have to make after the cuts are over. I think, I'm not sure. I could be wrong about that. So I'm going to just kind of bypass him for a second. So we've got Aaron Banks, we got Jake Brendel, we got Dominic Pooney, who's cemented himself as the starting right guard, which is just absolutely fantastic. Colton McKivitz, Jalen Moore, John Feliciano, only because he has to make the roster in order to go on to injured reserve so that they can bring him back later in the year. I think that's probably going to happen. Jarrett Kingston and then Ben Bartsch. And then I have two names written down next to Feliciano and Trent Williams' names. I have Nick Zakel and then Drake Nugent as guys who they could attempt to bring back, or in one of their cases, I think one of them makes the initial roster, and then one of them will have to be returned once they figure out once they do the Feliciano thing. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 offensive linemen. Complicated.
Okay. I honestly, I don't know what the 49ers are going to do. This offensive line is weird.
Yeah.
So, with Trent Williams not making the roster because he's not on the roster right now, I agree with Banks, Brendel, Pooney, and McKivitz. That's your starting four. Then Jalen Moore, I agree with as well. I agree with Burford and then Feliciano as kind of your 3-4 on the back end. And then I think Zakel definitely makes it. He got first team run as center, so they definitely think he's kind of fit in there. And I'm going to go with Bartsch and Hubbard as the final two, because I think Nugent was like okay, but I don't think they're looking for interior protection as much, and Nugent is a center who can only play center. Hubbard kind of gives you that exterior kind of edge protection that they might want without Williams in the fold right now.
I went back and forth with those two replacement names between Nugent and Zakel, and Hubbard would have been like the third one. This is going to be a complicated thing because the group that they're obviously going to release 53 names tomorrow and at 4 o'clock Eastern time, and then that list is going to change almost immediately. So that'll be fun. All right. The next list is defensive line. I think for the most part, like the top, you know, 5 or 6 guys, I think are pretty well locked in. Then it gets kind of interesting after that. Nick Bosa, obviously Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Javon Hargrave and Yetur Gross-Matos are, I think, no questions asked there. The only intrigue will be with Gross Matos, because I think he's the only one that sort of came out of that final final preseason game. Is I think they said it was a week to week with his knee in, with his knee injury. I think Leonard Floyd's good to go. I haven't heard anything against that. Then it gets interesting. Kalia Davis got to make the team and then put on injured reserve there. Then I have Alex Barrett taking over his slot, even though it's not the same type of player. But I think, like, at this point, any they're going to have to add to that defensive end list in for sure. Robert Beal, and then I have Evan Anderson, the defensive tackle on the undrafted free agent, making the team. So I believe that is also 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. So slightly less complicated.
Yeah, and I have no alterations to your list. I think the 49ers' defensive line kind of sorted itself very nicely. I also think that's not necessarily the best thing, because you didn't really have anyone kind of explode onto the scene. In particular, I thought Robert Beal had a pretty poor preseason / training camp, but he's a very good special teams player. Like, literally, his, like, body structure makes him ideal for special teams. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I think I don't really know what they do if Gross Matos is hurt enough to warrant IR. I don't remember if the rule changed and it's now unlimited IR activations out of training camp.
Very complicated.
If it is, then I think I could see a place where he gets put on IR, and then I could see maybe a T.Y. McGill Jr. making the roster as interior, you know, backup. But otherwise, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, I think if there's a position that they are going to be paying very close attention to roster cuts, I think edge rusher is certainly on that list, or defensive end help some way, shape, or form. Because if Leonard, I mean, hopefully Leonard Floyd is who he is, and he's been, you know, really healthy and really productive. But even beyond that, if it's just Bosa and Floyd, and then maybe a little bit Gross Matos and Robert Beal, who can't quite get things done, and who knows what's happening with Drake Jackson. His season may already be over at this point. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. All right. Linebackers, Fred Warner, obviously, Dre Greenlaw, again, I keep saying this, they have to put him on the roster so they can put him on injured reserve so he can come back later in the season. Devondre Campbell, D Winters, and then Curtis Robinson is going to be the fifth guy. And then I have Jalen Graham being the guy that they'll hopefully be able to get through waivers and get back on the team once Greenlaw is put on IR. Now, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they maybe decided to cut somewhere else, like maybe just went with three tight ends and decided to keep Jalen Graham around as a sixth linebacker, just so they have that slot, and then they can go out. So there may be some movement in different ways. Like they may keep. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept like six linebackers at the beginning, cut or put D or Dre Greenlaw on IR and went and got a different player, not a linebacker. So they end up with five linebackers. I toyed around with keeping those six guys and then Tatum Bethune being returned, but I think Bethune is a guy that they could probably keep around in the practice squad, that he'll be able to survive waivers. Similarly, a guy like Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, but I think that group has showed itself pretty well, and Curtis Robinson seems to be having a really strong camp in preseason, enough that he's made enough noise to make this team again, which is surprising.
So I think this is where we're going to have our biggest point of divergence.
All right.
I have the 49ers carrying six backers, which will become five once they put Greenlaw on IR. But importantly, I think when Greenlaw gets back, they'll cut from a corresponding position.
Yeah. Right.
So I have from a different position. I'm sorry, wrong choice of words. So I think the 49ers will be keeping six long-term. I think we'll go Warner, Greenlaw, Campbell, Winters, Graham, and I have Batum. And the reason I have these six is the 49ers are willing, I think to stock up on linebacker, if they think that position is, like, if they have some really good players. Winters is obviously, I think, the safe one out of the young group. He's pushing for strong side backer minutes right now, and he might get him. After Winters, I think Graham is being groomed for an eventual ascension to one of the 49ers' top linebacking positions. And that's why I have the feeling that he's going to make this roster. Mm. You don't put a rookie and give him the green dot, even with the backups, if you don't have some plans for him, I think. So I have Graham making the roster. And then Batoon versus Robinson. Part of this is just because I like Batoon's play. I think there's a lot of upside there. But I also do think there's a little bit of flexibility that comes with Batoon's contract being as cheap as it is, especially for special teams.
Right.
And I could see him making the roster contributing there.
Yeah.
So that's my six.
No, and I think that's reasonable. I mean, the other thing we haven't mentioned really is Dre Greenlaw is coming into a contract here. Terrible timing, unfortunately, for his injury on top of everything else. So there's a real scenario where Fred Warner, D. Winters, and insert third guy is your linebacking trio in 2025. I think no offense to Dre Greenlaw, but from a money saving situation with this team that's already having contract disputes up and down, I think that they would like that to work out, right? If D Winters breaking out and having a great season this year, and then being able to go, Dre, thanks for your efforts, but we're gonna move on, would probably be like not a best case scenario, but it'd be a good scenario for the 49ers for 2025 and beyond, I think, for sure. All right, and you feel free to comment on that if you'd like to, but I think that seems like the right thing for the next couple of years for sure.
No, I agree. I think you're 100% right. I think the 49ers in their roster remake will be trotting out Winters, Graham, and Warner next year. I'm pretty confident, barring Greenlaw having another injury or some like issue that really drags down his play, or for whatever reason he takes a really like sweetheart contract, which I highly doubt, because there are a bunch of teams that I think will be willing to pay Dre Greenlaw to become the Mike backer in their team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On their teams. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely the most forward looking position for me, which is why I'm pretty confident that they'll keep six, just to make sure they can have the young guys on the roster for next year.
Yeah, I think that certainly makes sense. All right, on to the secondary. We'll start with cornerbacks. Charvarius Mooney-Ward is obviously the first direction to go. D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green, Isaac Yiadom, and Darrell Luter, I don't know why I would call him Darnell, are my five. I think this is a position where they would really like to find a way to keep a sixth, but I just don't know where the flexibility is elsewhere in the roster. I think this is a situation where, in an ideal world, you would have had quarterback three can be on the practice squad and you get to keep a sixth cornerback. But I think they're just going to have to run with five. And this seems like a pretty, like, it seems like as solid a cornerback group as the 49ers have had in a long time. If Renardo Green is what he has shown himself to be so far, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I agree. I also have five. I have those same exact five. I think Luter separated himself just enough in his final preseason game. I think this is going to be a position where the Niners will try to keep Rocky Sin on mm-hmm. the practice squad for sure. And I think this is, my guess is, if I remember the years and contracts well enough, that Ambry Thomas is going to be a year-long IR, but that's basically saving him from being cut.
Right, pushing the cut to next year.
Yep. So, I agree. I think this group is pretty solidified. I think the top four is absolutely locked in. There's nothing going on there. Then from there, Luter did just enough.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to remember, Durrell Luter is a guy who made the team last year without really doing anything at all in the offseason. Like, he was hurt most of training camp and into the preseason. So they really like him, obviously. And I think you're right. They'll certainly have a veteran guy like Arak Yassin or possibly some other veteran that they pick up on the practice squad. Maybe Sam Womack also survives waivers, and that's something like he would be on the fringes of that of the group as well. To me, I'm not sure that he's done enough to merit that conversation necessarily, but I think he certainly could be a guy that if he makes it through waivers, that he could be back on the practice squad as well, depending on how they want to fit that. All right. The second part of the secondary is another group that we have to have a weird conversation about. So Jair Brown, obviously going to make the roster. Talanu Vanga, obviously going to make the roster. George Odom and Malik Mustafa, who just, man, that kid looks like he's shot out of a cannon on pretty much everything that he does, which absolutely is going to make him a thrilling special teams player. But maybe also makes you a little nervous about him from a like defensive safety standpoint. And so you feel real good about him as your like key special teamer for now, and hope that he'll figure out the other defensive part. Now, the real question comes down to what's going to happen with Hufanga. He's still technically on the PUP list. Whether or not he is active for week one, I just don't know. Like, this gets really weird because you don't have another roster spot. So you can't really, like keep a fifth safety just to be safe. Like, there's just no place to put him. So the question is this going to be a situation where he's going to actually have to go on IR and miss the first 4 weeks of the season? In which case you got to bring like somebody in like Tracy Walker as your other safety just to have cover. They only have one other safety on the roster right now, and that's Jalen Mahoney. I just don't know. This is the weirdest one, I think, of all the situations, because it's such a thin position. There's only four of them. They've only kept four for pretty much every year that Shanahan has been here. So I just don't think they're going to try to find a way to squeeze another guy out of this position. But if Hufanga is not ready to go, you need a fourth guy. And maybe this is a situation where you don't worry about it and you keep him on the active roster, and then you just have a safety on the practice squad that you elevate for a couple of weeks as like a special teams guy until he's ready to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think Hufanga is going to stay on the roster because I think they're trying to be aggressive with him, it seems like, even though they didn't really guarantee him a starting spot at all, which is
right. You know,
interesting. But I would have to agree that I think Brown, Oda, and Mustafa are for sure going to be on the 53 week one, all active. And then from there, I would have to say Hufanga makes the roster as well. And honestly, I don't really know who the fourth guy would be. I think you run the risk, maybe have a practice squad guy, maybe have a corner who you think can transition. Because, I mean, you're only two injuries away, but that's a scary sight if you're nothing to Bill Mahoney, who I thought played quite well in preseason and in training camp. But I don't know if the 49ers want him to be out there.
Right. Yeah. Like, you're good if maybe he's on your, if you have to elevate him from the practice squad as your special teams guy. But if, you know, like you said, if he's an injury away to be from being on your defense, that's maybe not something that you want. So it could be interesting. Maybe it won't be Walker at all. Maybe it'll be, this is certainly a situation where you could see them paying attention to some veterans that get cut that might be interesting additions, like to the practice squad that could be elevated over the first couple of weeks. And then you hope that Fonga's good to go, you know, in a week or two, and then you're all set. All right, last group, pretty easy. I don't think this should be terribly hard. Jake Moody, Mitch Wisnowski, and Tabor Pepper. Obviously, the 49ers made their first round of cuts today, and Presley Harvin was the guy who was in camp punting while Wisnowski could not. He was waived, so that pretty much solidifies that there's no problems with Australian punter, and so it's going to be the trio of Moody, Wisnowski, and Pepper for next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have had to be a crazy camp revelation none of us knew about. Specialist group.
Right. Yeah. Always the easy group right here at the end where it's just like, yeah, that's the easy thing. Well, that wasn't nearly as painful as I thought it was going to be. This is certainly as hard as it's been in a couple of years. Mostly not because there's like a bunch of openings on this team, because I still think the roster, you know, the top of the roster is still very talented, and there's plenty of positions where there weren't a whole lot. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of like, oh, well, that guy is definitely not going to make the roster. There's certainly circumstances where you could see like maybe this guy makes it over that guy, or logistics for like moving, you know, having a sixth linebacker versus only having, you know, whatever. But I think for the most part, pretty simple here, right? The only real question is how are they going to handle all the injury situations with, I think that's the major question, right? Between, other than Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, as far as the 53-man roster is concerned, to me, that's the biggest question is, you got four guys that you're going to have to think about, what are we going to do with them? In terms of like long-term, you have to think short-term and long-term with that and how you're going to make it work. But I think other than that, it's, you know, fairly straightforward for the most part. And that's good that it continues to be that way. But also I'm glad it's not my job.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think this worked out pretty good. I'm like almost 80% sure. I'm at 54 right now, which just goes to, I probably have to cut an offensive lineman somewhere.
Well, so, you can't do that.
But I think I agree with you 100%, right? I don't think the Niners are really wanting for players who come out and grab starting spots out of this training camp on week 53. But I do think there's a lot of planning, not only for injuries and also for, you know, holdouts and hold-ins, but more importantly, well, not more importantly, but more interestingly, for a whole new roster that's going to be next year. And I think, you know, this is what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have to do. They have to balance the future with the present. And as we went through, it can be tough. You can get to a point where there are a lot of players who, you know, maybe you don't keep on the 53 this year if you think this entire team is coming back next year. But they're not, so, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Are you sure they're not off in the back?
You know, if they are, those of you who read my articles know there are many things that I predict that I'm very, very wrong about. But I would be as happy as anyone if the 49ers win a Super Bowl and get the band back together. So, you know what, Robert? Maybe they'll all come back. Hopefully. Just for you. Let's see. Oh. The team hears us, listens to the podcast, and
that is, decides to. Because that's the entire reason that the 49ers exist, is to do my bidding. No, not really. Actually, that whole thing freaks me out. Again, I'm glad it's not my job. Like, you get, you know, when you're playing, you know, your video game versions of sports, and you have to do all the GM stuff, that stuff always makes me nervous, because I'm like, I'm going to get it wrong. I can't do math. I'm not going to be able to figure out how the salary cap works. It's going to be too hard. I'm just glad that's somebody else's job. That's all I got to say. All right. Well, we did it. We more or less put together how we think the roster is going to look like for a couple of minutes tomorrow, and tried to take a stab at what it might look like a little bit later. But as is often said around here, and I think Kyle Shanahan said something to this effect, maybe earlier today or yesterday. He was like, no final roster in the history of the NFL has ever been the final roster, which is true. Which is why we like to refer to it as the initial 53-man roster around here, because that's more accurate. And it may not be the 53-man roster for very long, or in Akshaz's case, the 54-man roster, which I think is cheating and may get us fined, but I'm not really sure how that works. All right, well, Akshaz, any final words on this as we prepare? We're getting close. We're getting ramped up. We'll probably do... once the roster is looking fairly solidified a little bit later in the week, we'll come back and talk about what it looks like. And then the week after that, it'll be time to start talking about the Jets and then Aaron Rodgers. But before that, any final words from you, Akshaz?
You know, hopefully the next words we talked about are how Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams are all back on the roster and everyone's gearing up and ready to go for a Super Bowl push. But this is going to be a big day for a lot of players. This might be the end of their time at the NFL. But I think what I'm most interested or excited for is how the 49ers are going to navigate this cut down and build up the 53. I mean, I think for all we know, there's five names that get cut that they just add onto their roster. And I think that's the crazy part about all this. And I also think it's really easy as fans to get super, like, exciting caught up in a lot of these players and everything that's going on. But it's always good to remember that the guys who matter are staying right where they are. And as long as that's the case, the 49ers are looking pretty, pretty good. So, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm excited to get some real games going.
Absolutely, for sure. All right, well, Trent Williams, wherever you are listening, let's work it out, buddy. Brandon Ayuk, wherever you are listening, as I both, I know you both are. Come on, let's be honest. Let's work it out, man. It's not my money, so you can have as much of it as you want. but thanks, Akshaz, for those final words. As always, they're fantastic. And thank you to you out there for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And, of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.